We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
I'm in the middle of this thing we called Stirred, Not Shaken. In the middle of this two-part series called Stirred, Not Shaken. And the concept is that although life is going to throw a bunch of things at us, we can choose whether to allow it to shake our faith or to stir our faith. You know, the Apostle Paul, as he was talking to his son of the faith, Timothy, he was telling him that when this stuff happens, we've got to stir up the gift that's inside of us. Stir up the God in you. Hello? And let's read that scripture together in 2 Timothy. It says this, "Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Where was this? Where's the gift? Where is it? In you. It's in you. And so I have the ability to allow the things in this world, whether it be fear, whether it be, stuff that shouldn't have happened, this stuff I don't deserve, this victim mentality. I can either allow all this stuff to come and be a part of me and it shake me to my core, shake me from my faith, or I can have it stir me to move towards my God. And so today, I want to continue. We're in the middle of the story of Joseph, because if anyone deserves to complain, it's Joseph. If you read Joseph's life, it's not fun and it's not fair, but the process in which we go through our life isn't always our decision. How many know that if we make bad decisions, it can further worsen the process? But sometimes the process is what the process is, but how I react to it can change my future. So really, we cannot control every little thing that happens in our life, but we can control how we respond to the problem. How many people would admit, I got problems? Not me, you. You're saying I. I got problems, I get it. I got problems, but so do you. And because we all have problems, we have to decide how we're going to respond to the problems. You know what? You woke up and things didn't start right this morning. Well, how are you going to respond to it? Are you going to let it ruin the rest of your day? Or are you going to let it shake you to the point where you don't come to church? You know, are you going to get it? You know, are you going to be stirred to say, you know what? Even more reason to be in God's house. I'm glad that we're able to bring this service to the hospital room for said broken foot. But you don't have to miss church, because it's not about church. It's about the Spirit of God stirring you. Okay? And so Timothy, he's being reminded by the Apostle Paul that, look, fear can mess with us. God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so that just reminds me that fear can shake our faith. And normally the circumstances and things that we go through can create all sorts of reactions. Fear tends to be one of the things that the devil loves to use against us, because he knows if he can get fear in us, we won't have a faith-filled prayer out of us. Did you get that? If I want to be able to pray a faith-filled prayer, then I've got to believe God's bigger. And so then I've got to tell my fears and tell my uncertainties and tell my struggles where they can go. Because if God's God, then he's got this, even if I don't understand it in the moment. Okay, somebody need to hear that. Are you guys awake out there? So fear, it can shake our faith. But last week, like I said, we started this Stirred, Not Shaken thought. And here's why. When things go wrong, be stirred to pray, trust God, and stir up your faith rather than be shaken by fear, doubt, and insecurities. So let me just catch you up. If you weren't with us last week, maybe you didn't catch this, maybe you couldn't catch up. But when it comes to Joseph, we talk about Joseph's life. Joseph, up to this point, Joseph had dealt with his dreams being laughed at, his brothers who hated him almost killing him and throwing him into a well, then pulling him out of the well. Can you imagine in the moment? Like, finally, they understand. Finally, my prayers are answered. Finally, I'm coming out of the well. They get pulled up out of the well just to be sold into slavery. That's frustrating. That's frustrating. What happened, God? I finally get out of the well and now I'm in slavery. This is not cool. This is not fair. You can either choose victim or you can choose victor through Christ. We've got to make that decision. And so he ends up being sold into slavery, but he ends up being a servant in one of the most powerful houses in the kingdom. For those that understand, Joseph had a dream, and we rewind his dream. He kept having these dreams about how his brothers and his family would bow down before him. And how many of that kind of sounds like a twisted dream? It's not because he was like, ooh, I want this to happen. He woke up and had a dream. He said, well, I don't know what this means, but here's my dream. And so here's the point. Whatever God had in planned, now listen, you can have some dreams that are literally just mixing like, you know, NyQuil and Mountain Dew, okay? Not every dream is a dream of God. You just didn't know what you were party mode, then I need to sleep mode, and then you had a messed up dream. Okay, but there are some times where God speaks to us in dreams, and he shows us time and time again in the Bible where that happens. So anyway, he doesn't know why he has this dream, but he told somebody about it. He told the wrong people about it. We talked about this last week. But nonetheless, he's now sold into slavery, but he is now part of, his name's Potiphar. He's basically the captain of the guard. He is one of the most powerful people in the kingdom. And so he's serving, and he's serving well, but he's also a hunk of burning love. I mean, he is a piece of meat, lean, grade A, choice beef. I mean, this dude, he's diesel. And so anyway, Potiphar, his master's wife, is all about him. And Potiphar's wife was like, come to bed with me or lose me forever. And he's like, I never had you. What are you talking about? Right? And so she ends up grabbing his cloak. He runs away naked. And so now what happens? Now he's wrongly accused that he tried to rape her because she had to spin the story. Otherwise, she would have looked bad. So she spins the story, says, he tried to rape me. Now, dude was doing well, serving in the house. Now he's in a dungeon he doesn't deserve. From bad to worse, to worser, to worserist. That was just for all those that are bothered by grammar. And so he's thrown into prison for a crime he didn't commit. How many think this is unfair? How many think in this world he has all the right and reason to be a victim? I didn't deal with this. I didn't do it. I shouldn't have to. I don't deserve this. I shouldn't have to deal with this. But actually what we see is that in the midst of every one of these things he didn't deserve, he chose to stay a man of character. I'm sure he had some choice words with God helping him through the problem. How many know we can be real and honest with God? You know what? I would rather be real and honest and raw with my emotions to God than somebody else that can't handle my emotions. God, here's the raw nature because I know I have to give this to you, otherwise it'll become bitterness in my heart. I'm going to let you know what I feel about this, but I'm also not going to lose my head over it. I'm not going to lose my character. I understand you have plans for me, and none of this looks like anything your dreams were in my life, so I don't deserve this. But he didn't choose to be a victim. He chose to take a victor's path. Yes, I'm here. This isn't fair, but I'm not going to stay here. And so what happened while he was in the dungeon? It says that God, he excelled in the dungeon and that God gave him favor. Let's look at the scripture together. But the Lord was with Joseph in the prison and showed him his faithful love. And the Lord made Joseph a favorite with the prison warden. Before long, the warden put Joseph in charge of all the other prisoners and over everything that happened in the prison. The warden had no more worries because Joseph took care of everything. Time out. Joseph took care of everything. You can't take care of things when you're a victim. So we're continually seeing he made a choice, even in the rawest, worst conditions, to not lose his head, to not be shaken, but instead be stirred to continue to be the man of God he knew he was, regardless of where he was. The Lord was with him and caused everything he did to succeed. I count the joy of every battle, because I know that's where you'll be. We just sang that. He is in a battle, and he knows. It says that God was with him in the prison. We think as though we were forsaken, that's why we're in the prison, but it says that God was with him in the prison. So if we would understand that we're not alone in the prison, we can be helped through the prison. The prison process exists. You may have never actually been locked up in a real prison, but you've been locked up in your own prison daily, in your own mind, in your own struggles, in your own habits. But if we will allow God to stay God, first of all, listen, as long as you choose to be the victim, God can't help you. Because there's no faith where you have the victimhood mentality. Either we're going to believe God to help us through the problem, or we're going to believe God allowed us to be in the problem, and then he's not going to work on our behalf. We're going to blame God for the problem, and then he's not going to be able to work on our behalf. I'm telling you, the toxic nature of needing to be a victim is going to rob you if you allow yourself to go there. Well, no one knows the cards I was dealt. Your life's not as bad as Joseph. Well, no one understands the family I had. Did your brothers literally try and kill you? Did they sell you into slavery? See, people think these stories are like just nice stories to help us with our problems. No, this existed. Joseph existed. Go back in history. It happened. It existed. So the point is, I don't want to live a victim. If Joseph can deal with it because he was that close to God, then I'm going to get through my struggles regardless of how I feel about my struggles. So while in prison, he began to excel. But listen, while he was in the prison, he also started having watch over other people in the prison. And it says that he comes across two people that have these dreams, and God helps him interpret these dreams. What's interesting is we know that Joseph's father was who? Jacob. And we know that Jacob also had a dream. Do you remember? Laying his head on the rock, seeing all sorts of things up and down. And Jacob had a dream. And so what's interesting is God is using a dream through these families. And the very one that had a dream that can't understand his own dream, God's now using to interpret other people's dreams. It's just interesting. Anyway, continue. Let's go to the scripture. So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream first. In my dream, he said, I saw a grapevine in front of me. The vine had three branches that began to bud and blossom and soon it produced clusters of ripe grapes. I was holding Pharaoh's wine cup in my hand, so I took a cluster of grapes, squeezed the juice into the cup, then I placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. This is what the dream means, Joseph said. The three branches represents 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift you up and restore you to your position as his chief cupbearer. And please remember me, and do me a favor when these things go well for you. Mention me to Pharaoh so he might let me out of this place. For I was kidnapped from my homeland, the land of the Hebrews, and now I'm here in prison, but I did nothing to deserve it. See, what's hard about this is we'll come to realize later on that even though he just was able to interpret the dream by God's help, he said, hey, just remember me, like, because this is my situation. And then he gets forgotten. Talk about being unappreciated. He gets forgotten. But after this happens, the other guy was like, wow, that was a favorable interpretation. I'm gonna tell him my dream too, see what comes of it. And he says, I had a dream too. In my dream, there were three baskets of white pastry stacked on my head. The top basket contained all kinds of pastries for Pharaoh, but the birds came and ate them from the basket on my head. This is what the dream means, Joseph told him. The three baskets also represent 3 days. The 3 days from now, Pharaoh will lift you up and impale your body on a pole. Then birds will come and peck away at your flesh. Wow. Probably not going to be on the good side of that guy. But what's interesting here is somebody that doesn't have this different kind of spirit that Joseph's carrying. Joseph, if he chose to be a victim, he wouldn't have told that guy bad news. He wouldn't have been honest with the guy. He would have been like, I'm in prison. If this is what's going to happen with this guy, just let it be. He chose, even in his struggle, to be honest at all times. Like, you know how, have you ever had to be the bearer of bad news? Have you ever had to tell somebody something you didn't want to tell them? How easy would it have been to be like, I'm just not going to be the one. If somebody needs to tell them, someone else can tell them. See, God wants to know if he can trust you with the hard things. God gave him the interpretation, and he's about to steal any hope this guy has. That doesn't sound nice. In fact, it sounds very, very difficult to be honest in hard situations. It sounds very, very difficult to do the very thing it would take to be able to rule over a kingdom. But in all of these things, I continue to see God giving him opportunities to walk through what obedience looks like, regardless of whether it's easy or not. In the midst of his own struggle, living in his own prison, will he still do the hard thing? Okay, first service didn't get that, but you did. So he ends up telling this, and all of these things come to pass just as it was. God helped him interpret the dreams, and they came to pass. And once the king's cupbearer was back into right standings with Pharaoh, he forgot him. And unfortunately, number five, when you feel unappreciated and forgotten, you have to make a decision to either be stirred or shaken. Unfortunately, we make the wrong decisions more times than not because we're like, I feel undervalued because I was forgotten. And then we play the woe is me game. But actually, if you say, you know what, God, I know that you haven't left me. And even though things haven't worked the way I thought they were supposed to work, I've still got to believe you're with me because what other hope do I have? We've just got to get ourselves with our back against the wall, understanding God is our only hope. When all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness, Joseph asked. Guess what? 2 years pass as he's completely forgotten. 2 more years in the dungeon in the place he doesn't deserve. Why are you telling me all this? Because we act like we always have problems, and some of them are problems in our world. But if I was in a dungeon without deserving it for years, I would feel like my first world problems right now are not as bad as what that literally is. But why is it that my first world problems in a lot of ways seem to make me a victim so quick, and I struggle with being able to stir faith rather than be shaken by the problem? We all have this problem, and we all have to decide how we're going to control our emotions. We got to be stirred. So when you feel unappreciated, when you feel forgotten, when you feel undervalued, choose to be stirred to draw closer to God, not shaken free from your faith. Because it doesn't say he lost it. It doesn't say that after that happened, he thought, God, this was my one chance. You know what? I did what you said. He was the guy. He was going to get me out of this situation. He, not God, God, God. The minute we make the solution someone, it's not going to happen. If that someone's not God, all we're doing is delaying the inevitable solution because we're trying to place someone else as the Savior. It says that he forgot for 2 years. He was forgotten for 2 years. Maybe, and I'm just thinking through this process, maybe if we just stop trying to be God and let God do what God does, maybe we get through the problem quicker. I'm just saying. That's just my thought as I ramble here, and it's not really rambling because I have notes for it. But it doesn't say he lost it. It doesn't say that he lost his head over it. It doesn't say he became unruly. In fact, he had to rule his emotions through the storm season. And so we have to rule our emotions instead of letting them take rule over us. You know, God, you know, as I kind of think about this concept, if God's calling us to be the head, not the tail, how can you be the head of anything if you lose your head? But who gets to decide whether I lose my head or not? I get to decide whether I'm going to be in control, not in the control of the solutions, but in the control of my emotions. God, you can have the solutions. I'm just going to control myself and try and hold my tongue from saying, are we there yet? Because I know it's your timeline, but I know you haven't forgotten me. So even as Joseph was able to stir himself in his season, I'll stir myself and not be shaken, yeah? But in the same way, look, there are so many people, they work hard, they've got all these six-pack abs, they got all these things they work so hard for, and I appreciate that. I wish I had that. I'm gonna have a 12-pack in heaven. Like when it says we have new bodies, I'm just believing I'm going to be one buff. You know, and I'm working on it. I got to, you know, September's coming. How many know fall? Fall's coming. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. The same way that people work hard on things in their life, we forget that we have to work hard on what it takes to rule our emotions. You can, I'm looking at the situation going, you can have the most disciplined person in their workout routine be the most undisciplined person with their emotions. The same people barking to tell you what you need to do to be healthy have the most broken lives on the inside because they don't know how to control their emotions. And so I'm just saying there's got to be a spiritual and a wholeness health that comes. It's got to be both. It can't be one or the other. We've got to work hard on both the temple and the mind. I can control my mind because God said I can. Well, Chad, I'm creative. I'm tossed by the wind. And the waves, as I feel them, I go. And you're like, well, your life is just going to be a whole bunch of to and from and for and there and here. And the Bible says that we become double-minded. You need to be of one mind, and you need to direct your mind, and you need to tell yourself what it should think and what it should not think. Meaning when you have a thought you shouldn't have, you should tell yourself that. Look in the mirror, talk to yourself. It's therapeutic. Lay on your couch, take a mirror, talk to yourself. But seriously, look at we expect the minute we say yes to Jesus, we expect Jesus to calm the storms around us, but he begins by calming the storms within us. But that only happens if you're willing to give him your inside thoughts. If you're willing to give him the opportunity. Where it says there's another in the fire, it's because they were willing for him to be there. They said, even if he doesn't show up, I'm not going to bow. Now, I'm expecting him to, but either way, I'm going to control what feels out of control. I don't like the idea of being thrown into the fire any more than any of those brothers did. But I'm going to control what I can control. The Bible says he gave us dominion. What does that mean? He gave us the ability to oversee the earth. That's why we can farm the land. That's why we can reap from the land. That's why you can train your dog to pee in a kitty litter box. Done. Okay? I have a cat dog. It's the best of both worlds. But listen, we have the ability to take dominion and do all these amazing things, but yet we struggle so many times with allowing the discipline of ourself to discipline ourselves. I have the ability to tell myself to shut up, so I'm going to throw away the key rather than make the situation worse. Anyway, all that to say, train yourself. Work to get better at ruling your emotions. 2 years pass, and Joseph is still in prison before Pharaoh himself has two dreams that frighten him. And he asks the magicians, I'll tell you what the dreams are. First of all, he says, look, I had a dream, and seven beautiful cows. I mean, these cows, they were amazing. They were sleek, they were big. They came out of the water, and they started grazing on the field of really beautiful field, and they're grazing on it. And then these seven gauntly, ugly, skinny cows, they come out. So by the way, I'm just a sleek cow. You know, anyway, so these seven cows come out and they eat the good cows. The ugly, skinny cows eat the good cows. And Pharaoh's like, I don't understand this. And then he has another dream where he's got this beautiful stalk of wheat that grows and this thing's healthy. And then this other one comes up and withering and dying, it eats the good one. And he goes, I don't understand this. And so he brings in all of his interpreters. He brings in all of his magicians. And he's like, you, come in, tell me. And guess what? They can't do it. He's like, you're dead. You're in jail. Go get me something because I'm on a roll. And so he just kind of goes off on them. And then all of a sudden the cupbearer's like, there's a guy in the prison who interpreted my dreams. It took 2 years for him to remember. And by the way, it was the very one he had hoped would remember, but it was never in his own timing. Just interesting. So we end up seeing Pharaoh brings Joseph out of prison. And so let's pick it up in 41. It says, so Pharaoh sent for Joseph. He was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream and no one can interpret it, but I've had it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. Joseph has a good answer. I cannot do it, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. And so listen here. Number six, when you finally get your shot, be stirred, not shaken. It's important to remember that Joseph is standing before the very man that could have his head if he doesn't like the interpretation. Remember, he was able to give someone in the prison a good interpretation. He was able to give the other guy an honest interpretation, but it didn't come out good. Now he's standing before the one that could take his head if he doesn't like the interpretation. He's also standing before the very person that could free him and unlock the dream he had. How many know if you're going to ever be in a position to rule the kingdom, the king has to be involved? So he's standing before Pharaoh. And all that hung in the balance didn't shake Joseph. He was able to have confidence in the God that had seen him through all the other battles of life. How did he do it? I know how he did it. His reaction had become a healthy habit. Some people have an overreaction that has become an unhealthy habit. But he had chosen to have a reaction that was healthy. When things started to shake, rather than allowing it to shake him and his faith, it stirred him to go to his God. So even in the midst of knowing that, even if he doesn't like this interpretation, either way, my life has always been in the hands of God. And I'm just going to give it as it is. And so when we choose to make a habit of trusting God with our problems, it becomes second nature to stir confidence in him when things begin to shake. Second nature. And so what we end up seeing here, he tells him this about the dream. He says, it is just as I said to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow them. Then all the abundance in Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravage the land. The abundance in the land will not be remembered because the famine that follows will be so severe. The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in two forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon. So Joseph, after he interprets these dreams, he then goes on to explain to Pharaoh what Pharaoh needs to do. He says, Pharaoh, you need to appoint somebody that starts taking of the harvest now, and we start stockpiling it. And we're going to eat this much, and we're going to stockpile this much. And if we stockpile this much for this many years, when the next 7 years come, we will survive off of the harvest. Not only us, but we will continue to flourish with wealth because we will sell what no one else has. And he just lays out this whole plan for him. Ready for number seven? When your hour of promotion comes, be stirred, not shaken. Joseph is about to be promoted. He's about to literally start to see this developing of the dream that he's had in his heart since he was young. He's about to see this, but you know what happens? What happens is when we're right on the verge of our promotion, we start feeling like, I can't do this. Two reasons. Firstly, because God needs you to know you can't do it without him. You see, all these people, they succeed with their dream, and then the very thing that they succeeded with is the thing that becomes their demise. Their dream takes them away from God because now they've got the very thing they wanted, and was it even God in the first place? Okay, there's all these other angles to it. But so anyway, God is saying, you need me if you're going to do well here. The other reason you feel that is because the enemy is scared that you can do it, and so he's trying to make you feel like you can't do it, so you won't do it. Did you get that? Number seven, when your hour of promotion comes, be stirred, not shaken. Look what it says in Genesis 41. It says, the plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to all of his officials. So Pharaoh asked them, can we find anyone like this man, one in whom the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has made all this known to you, there's no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. What? Come on. It can't be that easy. It can't be that easy. Wait. Joseph didn't allow the voices in his head to say that he couldn't do it. He didn't allow his voices to say he couldn't fail to the place where he said, no, I can't do this. Instead, he stirred up God's confidences for the moment of the promotion. And I got to continue the scripture before I get all excited because I'm already there, but you'll understand why. So it says this, only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. Flavor Flav, that happened. He made him ride in his chariot as second in command, and people shouted before him, make way. Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. This is full circle, because I'm trying to look at the time frame here. He calls him up for the interpretation. The dude puts on a robe. He shaves. He then comes up. He's told the dream. He then interprets the dream. That's got to be about an hour-ish. This dude went in an hour, God turned him from being in the dungeon to having the keys of the kingdom. You need to understand, you think there has to be some big timeline. God can do it in an hour if you're willing to stay on course, if you don't lose your head, if you don't be shaken, if instead you choose to be stirred. He went full circle in an hour. You may be like, Chad, my hour hasn't come. It's coming, baby. Just hang on. Why don't you just believe God, believe the dream, and continue to give your life to him over and over again. Don't play the victim. Someone needed to hear that. I'm just telling you, an hour ago, he was the resident of a dungeon, living with rats, surrounded by death, but he kept his head on straight. He chose to trust God when nothing made sense. He chose to be stirred, not shaken, when things didn't work as he hoped, and now he was given the keys of the kingdom. I want you to know, we will never understand completely the path we're on, but we must trust God that he hasn't forgotten us. He hasn't forsaken us. So let me fast forward in the story because I don't have time to read about a whole bunch of more chapters. 7 years of plenty comes, and Joseph does exactly what He says, oh, I can't. I got to tell you something. I got to tell you something else. There's more scripture. Was there 44? Can you give me that? Yeah. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, but without your word, no one will lift your hand or foot in Egypt. Pharaoh gave Joseph the name of awesome name that I can't pronounce and gave him Asenath, daughter of who? Potiphar. Daughter of who? Who is Potiphar? Potiphar's wife was the one that, you see this? Potiphar's wife was the one that falsely accused him. Potiphar was the one that threw him in prison. And all these years later, God has this funny way of making things right. See, you don't, vengeance isn't yours, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Can I tell you, God has a funny way of just making things right. He knows how to dot the I's and cross the T's. Oh, and I'm gonna give you that daughter. Not any daughter, that daughter. How many people feel like you have been working circles and circles and circles in your life, and you go, based on the dream I have, things just don't seem to be lining up with the time, because by now, I should be married. By now, I should have two children. By now, I should have this position. But guess what? If you stick with God, he will fast track your life. He was in the dungeon 1 hour ago. Now he's married to someone fine. He has got royalty in his blood and he is about to rule a kingdom. I love God. I love how God does this stuff. Are you kidding me? An hour. Oh man. That was worth going back to that scripture for. Thank you very much. So now let's move forward. 7 years of plenty. He's putting everything aside. Now we're 2 years into famine. So 9 years later, right? We're all on that. At this point, his own brothers, starving, come to the kingdom looking for food. And they come and they kneel down before the man with the signet ring. They kneel down before the one who has all the food. They kneel down before the one who commands all of Egypt, not realizing that they've gone full circle and now he's living the dream. If you're taking notes, number 8, when you're living the dream, be stirred, not shaken. Because a lot of lesser people, when they're living the dream and now finally have the power to take vengeance, would use vengeance. I mean, he's finally living the dream. They're all bowing at his feet. They're all dying of starvation. He could have the ability to just use his power in a way that would be unjust, but he justified in his own mind based on what he felt was unjust in his own life. See, the problem is we sometimes justify the things that we call unjust in our own life. We're unjust. Something was unjustly done to us, so we're going to justify being unjust to another person. That's not who our God is. You want your keys stolen? Try and do that with the power in which God's given you. Don't forget how you got there. Don't lose your head and your character to get even with those who wronged you. Be stirred to take the high road. You're above it. If you're taking notes, be stirred with mercy, not with vengeance. This is the thing. I mean, it all comes to a head here. The story just, oh my goodness. Can we read the scripture together real quick? It says, Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still living? But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, come close to me. When they had done so, he said, I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. No one likes to hear these stories, because what we're saying is that God allowed him to go through all the struggle. We don't like that God would allow our path or our process to be hard. But he's coming to this moment. Now, if you read back a few chapters, it says he's wailing, crying when he sees his brothers. He's going through some serious grieving. Grieving is necessary, okay? You may need to do some grieving. I tell people all the time, if something has happened in your world and you haven't grieved, you're gonna bleed out on somebody, because grieving, it becomes the very thing that clots the struggle. You know what? You should never talk about your scars until they're healed. Otherwise, you'll reopen them and bleed on everybody. He grieved. It cauterized the wound so he could get to this place and say what was necessary. Some of you feel like, I could never say that to the person that wronged me. It's because you haven't grieved before God. You haven't allowed God to heal it, so you can't say it. When we allow God to heal it, it comes to a place where our wounds are cauterized, our scars begin to become true scars, and then when we look at them, we don't look at them with resentment. We understand it was part of our story, but it was for the good of where I'm going to be. And even though I didn't want to be there, I can make something beautiful out of it. Even though I went through something hard, I can make a path for someone else. Let's go back to that scripture. For 2 years now, there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant. What is he saying? To preserve your family line on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then what? Oh, man, come on now. It was not you who sent me here, but who? You better have had some grieving moments with God to get to a place where you can admit this. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt. You need to be stirred in your prison while you await your promise. He's now in this place where he's gone full circle. He's seen God do the most miraculous thing within an hour. 9 years have passed. He still hasn't seen his family. But he is looking and working hard the same way he worked hard in the prison for the warden. He's working hard for Pharaoh to make sure there's food for the kingdom, to make sure he, in this moment, I don't know if he knows he's going to preserve the life of his brothers. He's still waiting to see them. He had a dream. You just feel like, when's this dream going to come to pass? Do what you're called to do. Be faithful in it. And when it happens, don't lose your head. But anyway, so he's there. His brothers finally see him. And instead of vengeance, he has mercy. Look, it may be your hour of going from the prison to holding the keys of the kingdom hasn't come yet, but I'm just telling you, be faithful. Stay faithful. I know that our God is faithful to us. Let's stay faithful to him. Learn to trust when you can't see a way. Choose to believe that God has put air in your lungs for the beautiful purpose he still has in your life. We've just got to get to a place where we trust God even when things are dark. When we lean into God when everything else hurts. Don't lose heart. Choose to allow this life not to shake you, but to stir you. And some people just say, well, I mean, I hear Joseph's life, and it helps me realize that maybe not everything's as bad in my life as I thought it was. But listen, if it's enough, if it's important enough to worry about, then it's important enough to pray about. Because everything's important to God. Some people would say, well, I'm not going to worry about this thing because it's not as bad as someone else's story. How about you just live your life and you talk to your God like he cares about every problem? Because he does. At the end of this whole thing, as we see him choose to say, look, I don't know why I walked this path completely, but now I'm standing here and have the ability to save others that are in a position that I'm not in. Maybe they're in the position you were in. Maybe those scars that you have are for a story that's going to help someone else some other time. I'm not trying to justify every bad decision you made. I'm just saying you can make a decision to make the decision to make it right.
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church. For more information about Metro Church, please visit our website at www.metro-church.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter.